Hi, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Great. I was actually talking about you, so that was part of the reason that I had to take a minute there, because I'd asked some of our mutual friends for like what should we talk about kind of thing, and one of the people I was talking to was Helene, and you know how Helene talks very fast and gets very excited, and so at first she sent me like a random hello. She was like, "Oh, hello." I do a really bad Helene impression. And I was like, "Hey, Helene, you know, I'm interviewing Heather tonight. What should we talk about?" She's like, "You should talk about the community." And I'm like, "Okay." And I thought that was the only suggestion. And then she's like, "And then how do you want this with the community? And the way that you just is, and the way to it." And I'm like, "Oh shit!" I guess she's going off. So she's typing and typing and typing. And I'm like, "Okay. I'm writing this down. I'm writing this down." Think she's done. And she's like, "It's another thing." And I'm like, "Oh." And she's going again. And I'm like, "So Helen had a lot to say. I just wanted to make sure that I got everything down so I could get the answer she was looking for."
Fantastic.
I told her that I was going to be her for Halloween one year because I just think it's so much fun too. I am Helene Bergeron, and I am for wizards, and she's so much fun, and she's such a good sport. I love her.
Oh, she's hysterical.
Did I tell you when I met her at Gen Con?
No, you didn't tell me that.
Yeah, I got to meet her at Gen Con, and I've met her before, but this was the first time we'd really like interacted. And I remember when she shook my hand, she told me I had really nice hands. Like she just started rubbing my hands, and I'm like, uh-oh. And I remember we were at the Gathering Magic party, and I would just come up to her and start rubbing her arm, and I was like, "I'm feeling up, Helene Bergeron." It was kind of fun, and yeah. So every time she'd see me, she's like, "Joseph, when was the smooth hands?" And I'm like, "I am," and I'd find reasons to like touch her and stuff. It was a lot of fun. So I technically went to first base with Helene Bergeron. Just throwing that out there. Be jealous.
Jealous.
Okay, so I'm pretty sure you've heard the show. You know the deal. It's an explicit rated show. Of course, you can swear. You're here to talk, so hopefully you're ready to tell me some stories. Feel free to go off on a tangent. I'm looking to fill up about an hour, maybe a little over, so be ready to talk. I do have some questions here. I don't think I have anything too personal, but you seem pretty down anyways, so.
Yeah, I'm pretty good.
Okay, so I'm just going to do my little intro, and I came up with a little intro for you, and then I'll rope you in and we can get started. So you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, here we go here. Good evening and welcome to episode 69 of the Deck Tease Podcast, brought to you by legitmtg.com. My name is Erin Campbell. My guest tonight has at times described herself as just being a redneck who was literally raised in a barn. But to me, she is so much more. She is the community manager of Gathering Magic. She's my friend, and to many people, she is a real-life angel. Heather Lafferty, hello.
Well, howdy.
Hi. Howdy.
I like that intro. That was good.
Yeah, I really thought about it for a while. You know, I thought I could. At first, I wanted to make a play on the 69 thing, and then I was like, well, that's something people are going to expect, and you know, I don't know. I don't want to be predictable, but I do want to touch on that. But I really wanted to give you a good welcome because you do a lot for the community, and I've been meaning to have you on the show for a while now, and I'm really happy that we have the opportunity.
Well, you know what a big fan of the Deck Tease I am. That's no secret. So,
You are one of the people who actually discovered me.
yeah, I was super excited when, you know what? That's a crazy story too, because this was one of the things that had me so agitated when Medina had to leave. Was, you know, when we started Legit, me and him had some, I mean, some knockdown, drag down fights over podcasts because we wanted a podcast. And you know, we spent 2 years listening to podcasts and hearing pitches for podcasts. And then I believe I saw Liz tweet a link to your podcast. And I'm like, oh, well, a girl's running a podcast. I bet it's awesome. And then I went there and it was more than awesome. It was amazing. And then I, you know, sent a message to Medina and I was like, I found it. This is it. You got to listen to it. And better yet, you got to get yourself on there. I was like, I want you to get on that show and get interviewed.
Yeah, it was really interesting because, like I said, I don't know. I was under the impression that most of the interview with him was my doing. Like, he really didn't pursue me at all, which there's nothing wrong with that. But it is kind of interesting how all of that really fell into place because I had seen him and I'd actually been following you for a while too. But I admit, when I first started following you, you kind of scared me a little bit because, and maybe you can relate to this, but anytime, at least in my case, that I meet another outspoken woman, I know that we're either going to become the best of friends or we're going to fight like cats in a box. And I would just see some of the things that you said, and I was like, oh God, if we joined together, we could be a really awesome force, or we're just going to kill each other. And it was really hard for me to get a read on you originally. And then, I did start interacting with you, and I was like, okay, she's cool. She's cool. We're not gonna, we can do this. And
Yeah, I'm kind of a big mouth.
yeah, and then I realized that we felt the same about a lot of things, and I was like, okay, I think we're gonna end up being really good friends. And I'd been following Medina for a while, and I always remembered his picture. His picture to me looked a lot like Bruce Wayne, like the Batman the Animated Series version of Bruce Wayne. So I just remember him as the Bruce Wayne guy. And then I remember just seeing a lot of people who knew him, and I was like, okay, I need to get this guy on my show, because I use the show as an excuse to get to know people, in all honesty. That's my way of bringing on people like Chapin and Duke and letting me get to know them. So I really wanted to know who he was. And shortly after that, he was like, what do I need to, and I was really surprised, because even leading up to the show, he would IM me with notes on like previous episodes, and I've never had a guest do that before. So I kind of felt something was up when I noticed him taking notes on my show. And I was like, uh-oh, maybe he's going to hear my show and realize what a moron I am and not want to come on. And then it ended up, turning out to be what it was. So it was awesome.
Oh yeah, no, you were part of a corporate strategy. You were you were part of our hostile takeover the magic world plan.
So I technically wouldn't even be here if it weren't for you. So thank you.
Oh no, that's definitely not true.
Well, I'm really glad you're here, because, like I said, I've wanted you on the show for a while, but I really wanted to make sure the timing was right, because a lot of things had happened recently, and I really wanted the dust to settle, and I wanted the timing to be right. And I mean, I can't think of any better timing than episode 69. Who else would I want to do episode 69 with?
I mean, I can't think of anybody.
I mean, I turned down Reed Duke for you.
I know, that's what I'm saying. That's what I was like, oh, my girl can't read Duke. I was like, you better go get that. And you're like, don't worry, I got it. I was like, all right.
Yeah, I definitely respect, hoes before bros. So, or wait a minute, you'd be my bro. See, I'm so bad at this, bro. You're my bro. I screwed that up. Damn. I just called you a hoe. I didn't mean to.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
I
This is
promise
why.
it's not even close to the worst thing I've been called today.
And this is why I love you. So
That's
let's go ahead and
fantastic.
get started. So I want to know about you. So tell me about the first time that you played a game of Magic. Let's go all the way back.
Ooh, Lordy. Okay, so the very first time I played an actual game of Magic, I owned Magic cards. This is a crazy story because I actually owned Magic cards for almost, I want to say, a year and a half before I actually got to play a Magic game, because I saw some boys in my school who had Alpha and Beta cards, and I saw them playing, and one of them had a Serra Angel, and I was like, wow, what is that? And I came from a very small hick, town, and needless to say, women were not the priority. So their response was, it's a boys' game. And basically, go away, girl. This was in middle school, so it was like, leave me alone. And but I got a couple of Magic packs, and I had them, and I just kind of kept them, kind of like Garbage Pail cards, like the Garbage Pail kids. I just had them, you know what I mean? I didn't know what to do with them. Like, I just thought, wow, these angels cool. And then I went to when I finally got into high school, there was a group there that played. We didn't have a comic store or any kind of game store in my town. In fact, the Circle K had a Mortal Kombat machine, and it got boycotted by all the local churches because it was too violent. So they had to remove the only video. Yeah, it was one of those towns. So, I saw these kids playing Magic the Gathering in high school, and I was like, oh, I have those cards. I have like a lot of these cards. I've just and they're like, and you've never played? I'm like, no, I've never played. I just like them. So they taught me how to play, and that was probably like little after Arabian Nights and
Fallen
Revised.
Empires,
Yeah,
maybe?
it was a little bit after Revised and all that. So, it was around that time when I actually played my first actual game of Magic.
It's interesting that you said the fact, it's interesting that you said that the kids said it was a boys' game because the first person who ever exposed me to magic was a girl. I also started playing magic in middle school, and my friend at the time, Sam Lemieux, we're still friends to this day, and she was the one who introduced me to it. She had a binder full of the cards, and and then the person I actually started playing magic with the most also was a girl. My best friend through high school was a girl named Kira, and I remember every Monday night we used to go to McDonald's after school and play. And at that time, McDonald's had a special every Monday night on chicken nuggets. And you could get 20 nuggets, a large fry, and a large soda for $5. And when you're in high school, that's a steal. And most of the people that we played with were girls. And some of the best people I grew up with who played were girls. So, it's interesting to be where we are now, and magic is such a boys' game because all I've ever known are good female magic players. And my first taste of magic was because of a girl.
I don't understand why my life can't be like yours because that sounds awesome to me because I was probably, and this is no lie, I was probably, I'm 34 right now, so I was probably 27, 28 years old before I met a girl that would play magic with me.
Oh, wow.
I mean, and that's going to F&Ms, and I mean, I never went to F&M as regular as like a lot of people, but I mean, that's popping into F&Ms. That's going to the Mad Hatter at Texas Tech when I was in college. I mean, I was just never paired against a girl, never knew any girls that cared to play. I mean, and when I started, way back, way too long ago, I mean, in the shops, when you actually made it to a shop, the guys didn't even bring their girls. They didn't even bring their girlfriends. So there wasn't even that stereotypical, thing they like to say, the girlfriend, watching. They didn't even, the girlfriends wouldn't even come. So, I mean, I wish I had women to play with when I was in high school. That'd have been awesome.
I can, and looking back on it now, I can always remember a woman being there at some point. Like, so I have my best friend Kira. Kira was a lesbian at the time, so her girlfriend played. Her girlfriend Suzanne played. So Kira, Suzanne, and I would play. So that's three girls right there. And then Suzanne's sister Sherry played as well. So then there'd be four of us, and we would play around a poker table in Kira's basement. And then we had a guy friend named Robin. Robin had a girlfriend named Cassie. Cassie would play with us. So there were nights where it was three, four girls around a table. And then the big game store at the time was a place called VGC, which I don't remember what VGC stands for now, but I do remember that we used to save up our babysitting money and find the one person who could drive and have them take us out there. And again, there were girls there too. So, again, I hear all these stories like yours of, not having any exposure to other women players. And I can't imagine what that's like because the whole time I've played Magic, there's always been some female presence there.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I wish I'd had that because and that sometimes I get messages all the time and they'll be like, "What do you do on Twitter besides collect female magic players?"
Binders of women.
What do you do? And it's true to some extent. That's what I do. If I'm like, "Oh, there's a female. I want you. You're mine now." No, but I think that's probably a large part because there were so many years where it really was kind of desolate out there for me in Texas.
It's interesting how, the geography works, like especially being a part of Lady Planeswalkers and the Ladies of MTG group that we belong to, and hearing the different environments that women play in, even just down the street from each other, like especially in New York. I hear that there are some women that have really great experiences there, and then people that don't, and yet they're in the same city, which I find so interesting. And then, they go one state away and it's different there too. And it's just crazy some of the stories that I hear because I've really never had to experience that. And in a way, I feel almost bad about it because I can't relate. Like, I've been really, really lucky. And it just blows my mind to hear some of the stories that I hear from our fellow players.
It's funny that you mentioned that because Medina and I used to do this thing. We had this little secret site or whatever, where you like forum site where you could go back and forth on creating ideas of articles and stuff. And I had this theory that it was the shop owners that really set the tone for it. Didn't matter how big of an asshole a player in your shop was. It was the shop owners who set the overall tone and what they did enforce and didn't enforce. And I wanted to do a initially the idea was I would go to, I would pick like five or six of the biggest LGSs in Las Vegas, let's say. And I would go, I would take the same like three cars. I would get like a standard mythic rare that was super hot. And then I would get like a power card from a vintage deck, you know, Force of Will or, you know, something like that. And then I would go into the stores, you know, into each store and test the LGS, the actual, the people behind the counter and the people that I trade with and just say, you know, I found these cards. I've never played Magic. I don't really know what they do, but you know, my friends said they might be worth something and just see how they reacted to me and then have my brother do it and see if he got the same, if he was quoted the same prices or if he was treated, you know, if there was any difference between. And, but, you know, we eventually decided that would be too, not to do that because then if a business was really bad, we would have no choice but to call them out. And we didn't want to be like, you know, I thought that would probably not be the best. But, you know, I think it does have a lot to do with who owns the actual shop and their views on making an inclusive environment.
I had a situation come up recently that I found very troubling, and it was a situation where the store had tried to do something nice for the lady players, and they received so many complaints from the players that they had to shut it down. One of the local game stores I attend had made it so that F&M was going to be a ladies' night F&M, and their entry fee for F&M was usually $6, and you would get a pack just for signing up, and then if you made it to top four, you would split a box. And so there was a time where they weren't charging girls an entry fee. And I'll admit that it didn't change things too much. It wasn't as if, you know, girls were pounding down their doors to play, but there was, you know, a little bit of an increase. And I was one of the girls who took advantage of it. And I was one of the girls who did well with it. So I was getting in for free, not paying anything. I would get one pack just for signing up. And then I was leaving with an additional nine packs because I was doing well. So I was making about 10 packs of Magic every F&M, you know, just for showing up. And I took about a month off because this was right around the time of rotation. And I was so tired of Thragtusk and Olivia and all that stuff. And I kind of just wanted all the new cards to be a thing. And after I came back, I was like, you know, I'm here for the free ladies F&M. And he was like, yeah, we don't do that anymore. And I'm like, what? I'm like, what happened? And he was like, well, guys complained that the women didn't have to pay anything and that they were winning prizes. So we had to shut it down. And I was really upset about that. And I was like, wait a minute. I was like, these are the same guys that make a fuss that they don't see enough women, you know, that we're not doing enough, that we're not trying. And then when we start doing stuff, you know, they want you around, but they don't want you to do well. And I noticed that they didn't have anything to say about it when we were there, when we were watching, when we weren't doing so hot, when we were going 0-4, of course they wanted us there. But when we started going 4-0, when we started infringing on their loots, then they had a problem with it. And I was really upset. And I remember talking to Twitter about it, and I was surprised how many guys that I know who I consider to be good guys who agreed with it and were like, it wasn't fair. We think it should have been shut down. And it really bummed me out.
Yeah. And the part of that I don't get is if you take gender out and you put in any other kind of descriptor term, I mean, at its core, it's basically just simple target marketing. I mean, you have a steady base of players who, you know, you can count on and rely on, and you want to grow your business. And so as a, you know, stimulus to your business, you decide to create a target marketing campaign, and you're going to go get, I mean, it doesn't matter. You want the hippies, the yuppies, the whatever. I mean, it, you know, insert group. And, so you make a special for them. I mean, this is just simple ad target marketing. And it's ridiculous that people, or men specifically, get upset when it's just when they have ladies' night. I mean, this is, you know, that's just better for everybody.
Well, it made me upset because, no, like I said, nobody had a problem with it when the women were doing poorly. You know, like if I would show up and have a bad night and go 0-4, it would just be, oh, look at that girl going 0-4. Girls are terrible. You know, yeah, girls, come on in and play. They want you there until you're doing well and until you're infringing on their money, their prizes, their whatever, then it becomes a problem. And that's what made me mad. Like if you don't want us there as at all, I'd be more okay with that. But to think that you only want us there when we're doing poorly, that didn't rub me the right way.
Yeah, well, I mean, as soon as you start taking their prizes away, then
Yeah.
it's then they have an opinion.
Yeah. And that was the other thing that rubbed me the wrong way was that this is more of a competitive store. Like, this is the store that I go to when I'm looking for more of a challenge for F&M. And I had to work for those 9 packs. I mean, it wasn't like I was fighting, these rogue decks where, people were, or like I was having to face 9-year-olds to get to the top. I was having to work. Like, I was having to sideboard correctly. And there were some really tense games there. And I was having to play a really good deck. And, to have all of that not mean anything and to just imply that I won those packs because I was a girl was like a slap in the face. It was like, so you're saying I didn't earn those? Like, are you
Yeah,
what?
that's ridiculous too. And it kind of reminds me of that controversy over the girl, her and her boyfriend. They were in States, and yeah, they make all the way to the final tables, and they face each other, and he folds or and lets her win States, and everybody was like, oh well, she only won because she's a girl, and he's pussy whipped, and they're just going off on Twitter like a bunch of heathens, and you're just like. You had, and nobody's mentioning the fact that, they made it to the final tables of States. I mean, she had to beat every other MF-er in that room to get there to face her boyfriend. And if they had a deal before, I mean, people just, they get hysterical. And I, it's a shame though that that the owner of that LGS that you go to, that he didn't, it's important in a business. To like Magic, they do, Wizards of the Coast does this every day. You have to look at something like Modo and you have to decide, are these complaints just people kind of annoyed and just grumbling, or is this a core, red flag issue that could really affect, I guarantee you none of those guys, if the owner would have just said, listen, I didn't see any of you complaining any of the other weeks, these girls were in here and losing. So we're all just going to suck it up and soldier on. I guarantee you no one's not coming to F&M the next week. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was a little disappointed in that. So I want to talk about your history playing the game more so from your personal experiences, because you write a lot about the things you've gone through in your life and you tie them into Magic somehow. One of the most personal pieces you wrote was you wrote a post for Legit called "The Night a Magic Podcast Saved My Life," and you talked about your first marriage and how it wasn't necessarily good. And you made a comment in the post that you did not play Magic for 5 years while you were
Yes,
married
that's
to him.
true. Yeah, I did not.
Did he, is that, so he didn't, he told you couldn't play Magic. Like, what's the story with that?
It wasn't so much as a straight out order because I'm pretty averse to orders. But there's when you're in a relationship with someone and you care about that person, there's very easy ways to emotionally manipulate them and just, I mean, and I catch myself doing it too. Like my husband will turn on the Duck Dynasty and or my current husband and I'll just give him that look like really like this is really what we're doing right now. And then I feel bad because this is just, that's something he enjoys and I can sit there for 30 minutes and suck it up. But but it escalated from that. Like he hated me playing Magic. He thought it was really nerdy and he wanted this little cute country girl to go lion dancing with and honky tonk and he didn't, he didn't bargain for the gamer girl that he got, and I think it just really annoyed him because I met him when I was 19. I said F this state, and I moved to Vegas. I just packed my crap and drove to Vegas one day. So, yeah, and he didn't. It was the fighting about going to F&M and spending money on Magic just became so intense that I just said. Forget it.
And you said that that it was abusive, you were verbally abused?
Yeah, he could get pretty, he could get pretty nasty when he didn't get his way or, especially, because when you're a medic, especially when you're first starting out, like now it's different because, I'm with a private corporation and not just like on the ambulance, but when you're on the ambulance, you work really hard. For a long, long time, many hours a day, and you don't make anything. I mean, literally, you make, EMTs in Las Vegas, starting EMTs, EMT basics on the bus make about $8.50, $9 an hour. So, he just didn't respond very well to financial trouble or not being any kind of stress factor at all, really. Mm-hmm. He wasn't a coper.
Yeah. Yeah, eventually, and then you get to a point in the post where you talk about the MTG podcast, Yo MTG Taps. And it sounds like, you know, your love for podcasting and specifically that show motivated you to leave the marriage. Is that true?
That is actually true. You know, I came home from work and I had a really bad calls, really bad day. And then I have this habitual little routine I do when I get home, because I treat sick and injured people all day, that, you know, I undress in the laundry room and then I go straight into the bath to, you know, wash before I see the kids and have everybody around me. And then, so I was sitting there and I was in the bath and I was trying to just relax. And I love podcasts. I've always, from the moment I knew a podcast existed, it didn't even matter what kind. I just like people talking to me. And I also think it's fascinating that people love to spend their time sharing, like you. Like, I mean, every week, you know, this is something you do for, I mean, let's be honest, not a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you get this takes time, effort and forethought. And it's just, you know, you get to be with somebody in really intimate places. You know what I mean? Because people listen to podcasts. They listen to it in their cars, in the bath.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in their beds, you know, at work,
at the gym,
I mean, you take the people in your head and your ears with you to very private places. I mean, they're with you, you know, every week, every, you know, all the time, all year long. So, I mean, it can be almost like a relationship, you know? Mm-hmm. And, so I was listening to Yo MTG Taps and I just kind of stumbled upon it, and, you know, I love Magic, and I was like, oh, I miss Magic. I'll just listen to this and see what's up. And then they started talking about all these crazy things, and they were having a blast, and they were going to this event, and they were taping it in their car. And it was, I mean, it was just a crazy episode, and it was really hard to understand, and it was poorly edited. But, like, I just, I don't know. Like, they just were having so much fun. Like, I missed feeling good about me and life and you know, everything. And I was like, that's it. It's, you know, you're almost 30. It's time to do something different.
Yeah, you say in the post, their laughter sounded so genuine, and I couldn't remember a time I laughed like that. Had you really gone that long without real laughter?
Yeah, I mean, it got pretty bad, and he got pretty ugly. And then my job, if you don't have a hobby, it's hard to do my job if you don't have a good home life or a good hobby or a mm-hmm. good something that you can do to forget about the dead kid you just treated or the, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it is that just happened that day. I mean, it can be pretty intense. Mm-hmm.
Does seeing the things that you see every day on the job affect how you look at Magic?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think I probably appreciate Magic, I'm not going to say a lot more than most people, but maybe in a different way, because, you know, I'm sure like all people that play Magic appreciate, you know, what it does for them, bringing their friends together, or like if you're a pro, you know, the opportunities you get to travel and play and make money and whatever. But I like Magic to me is just, even just thinking about Magic, just thinking about my deck or what card I want to buy or what rule change just thinking about Magic, you know, even in the middle of like a very intense call where you're just like, you know, it helps bring you like a peace of mind, like a little, just a little piece that they can't take away. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So tell me how you got started with Legit.
Well, this is kind of funny because my big mouth. So, okay. Medina was writing for Star City Games, mm-hmm. and I was recently divorced and just fresh in the Magic community, kind of. I knew a few people on Twitter, and I was starting to follow all the pros and just kind of watching. I didn't really talk a whole lot then. I was just more watching and
you didn't talk a lot?
Yeah, no, not then, because I didn't know anything. You know, I didn't even play with Planeswalkers. I didn't even know what a Planeswalker. Like, I'd never even heard of a Planeswalker. You know, I quit. And when I came back, all of a sudden there was this Jace the Mind Sculptor. And I'm like, wow, there's the card in the standard. And it's like, I was crazy. But so Medina wrote this. I was trying to rebuild my collection. And one of my friends sent me a text, said, "Hey, there's this guy that writes for Star City Games, and he does finance articles. And he took a pack of cards and he turned it into a piece of power." And I'm like, "Shut the fuck up, he did not." And he's like, "I swear to God, I swear he did." And I'm like, "I'm gonna read this for myself." So then I went and I started reading Medina's articles, right? And he's talking about trading and like all this high tech finance stuff. This is a whole new magic to me. And I was trying to learn, how to trade, because I was gonna be this, like, my idea was to rebuild my collection and kind of get back in the game. I was gonna be this awesome trader like Medina. And then I tried that once, and that was an epic failure. But so Medina, I started following him on Twitter, and he tweeted this article about how that he had written about trading his iPad for this guy's binder. And I read the article, and I thought it was absolute crap. I thought it was, you know, I was so pissed. I read this article. I thought it was mean, and I thought he had taken advantage of this guy. And I mean, I went off. I mean, that was the first time I ever ranted, probably on Twitter. I was just shipping tweet after tweet to Medina about that article. And then finally, he's, you know, first of all, the crazy thing about Medina was, he never lost his cool. I mean, it didn't matter what you said to him or how many people came at him. He always had this very, like, zen approach. Like, "I'm going to figure out why you hate me, and then I'm going to seduce you, and then you're going to love me and Magic Finance." I mean, that was his, like, you know what I mean? And so he sent me this message. He started following me after I yelled at him all the stuff, which I thought was crazy. And then he sent me this message, and he was just like, "I don't think it came off very well in the article, but I really love this, you know, I mean, I not love, but I really know this guy. He's my friend. He goes to my a lot, and this is not just some random stranger." And I'm like, "Okay, well, I mean, I feel a little better about that." But then a couple weeks later, he put out a tweet saying, "I'm starting my own business, my own website. I've been fired from Star City Games, and I want writers." And then I sent him a message, and I said, "I have this killer idea for an article that nobody's doing, and I'm your boo." And he was just like,
Did you say it like that? I'm your
"Yeah, I
boo."
did. I said, I'm your boo." And he was like, "I think I might have actually said I'm your Huckleberry. That's probably more like me." But and then he was just like, "Okay." And then the first idea I sent him, it wasn't like very definitive or defined. I just said, "There's nobody recording Magic history, and I'm not talking about tournament reports or who won what. I'm talking about the Magic culture. So there's nobody that reports our issues, you know, our big, like, crazy events, things that happens, our fights, our and there's no way to look that stuff up or explain it really to people who weren't there at that time, you know, because, like, I missed 5 years of Magic, and I wish there was some way I could have gone back and seen, you know, what those 5 years were like besides deck tech, you know what I mean?" And so I said, all these great conversations happen on Twitter, and the Twitter fight that actually gave me the idea was Paulo and Gary T. I don't remember what event it was or what was going on, but they played each other or something happened, and they were just duking it out on Twitter for like the whole day. And I don't think Gary liked something Paulo did, and they were going back and forth, and I was thinking, this would be an amazing thing to record and publish so that people could comment on it and share their views and stuff. And then that was my idea. I presented him, and he was like, "Yep, let's do it. Let's it's gonna be me and you."
It's
And
She interesting.
did.
It's interesting that you guys have that instant chemistry, because I know I've tried working with people before where it looks like such a good idea on paper, and then all of a sudden you actually go through trying to make it work and it just doesn't. Like, either the timing isn't right, or you just neither one of you knows how to communicate, or you want different things. And I always feel really lucky when I just find those natural partnerships. Like, I feel that way with Brandon Eastlip from Gathering Magic. Like, him and I together, when you put us together, we just pop. We're like, we did that article for Legit with the Commander deck, and
I love that article. He's great too. I love that article.
And we just bounce so well off of each other. And that's not something you find every day. So whenever I find somebody that I have a kind of relationship with, I just want to hold on to them so tight, because that's so rare.
Yeah, that was so heartbreaking when Matina was like, I gotta go. That's why it was heartbreaking. Because one of the great things about Medina that a lot of people don't know was that I would come up, like I would just watch the community, and I could probably come up with three ideas for permanent article series, today, just that nobody's doing, that nobody had thought of, that just, and I would be constantly shooting all this stuff to Medina, and he would be constantly be like, nope, this won't work, and this is why. And he was like, the only way I know how to explain it without, this is not like trying to stroke his ego or anything, because he didn't play Magic anymore. But so I used to call him the Steve Jobs of Magic, because he would take stuff, that other people had tried and that existed and it was out there, like MTG Finance, for instance. And he knew how to make it sexy and how to market it and how to package it so that it was, a thing. And he was just really, really good at taking any idea I gave him and just polishing it so that it was awesome.
I think the thing I always enjoyed the most about him was how much freedom he gave me, because I am a rebel at heart, and I was sort of, indie or on my own for a while, and I was very happy with that. And when he mentioned the idea of me joining, a big site, I kind of felt like there was a little part of me that worried that I'd be seen as a sellout, and that I'd have to follow certain rules, and I couldn't talk about certain things. And I actually kind of experienced the opposite with him, where every time, when I first started, I felt the need to tell him what I was going to do every week, and I'd be like, oh, I'm gonna have this person on, and he'd be like, oh, okay, go. And or I'd be like, oh, I really want to talk about this, and I would expect him to shoot me down, or I would expect him to be like, maybe you're going too far, you should scale it back a little bit. And one of the things that really impressed me was that he was always pushing me to go further. It was always, have this person on the show. I was never told what to do, and I kind of expected to be, and I just never felt that. And even now, it's like there have even been a couple of shows since then where I'm just like, oh my God, he's gonna hear this and kill me, or oh, someone's gonna be pissed off at this. And instead, I'll get a message saying that was a really great show. And I look at how other people have it, not necessarily naming names, and I hear that they have to submit their shows, and that they have to re-record it, or they have to take stuff out. And I'm so freaking fortunate that I never had to do that it was always be you, do the thing, complete freedom. Like, that was such a blessing.
And that's why you work, because you're you. I mean, why would you want to change? Awesome. That was no, I mean, seriously, why would, I mean, that was his biggest philosophy. Like, find awesome people and then don't mess them up. I mean, just like with 20 tweets, before I'd even, and this is how crazy Medina was, because Medina had, by the time I met him, he had like 5,000
Oh,
followers. He was a huge writer for Star City Games. Like, I was nobody. I literally hadn't even played Magic in 5 years. I just had this idea for 20 tweets and this article series, and I came in with demands too. I was like, and I'm gonna put tweets in there from anybody I want. You can't tell me I can't, just because you don't like them or they don't like you. It's like, I'm gonna cover whatever topic I want. I'm gonna do it. And it, and I went off this little, my finger wagging and all that. And he was just like, sounds good. You know what I mean? And I'm sure he was saying, "Oh, this crazy, crazy woman." But he let me, like, especially in the beginning, like him and Jeebus in the very, very beginning when I started 20 tweets, they couldn't stand each other, and and he never told me I couldn't put anybody that I, like that person was banned or this person, except Jay Boosh. He did tell me. The only time he ever told me, he was like, "Listen, you're quoting that guy too much. He gets no more than one quote, 20 tweets." I was like, "All right, boss."
I love Boosh. I just recently had him on my show, and he was so impressive, and I was really happy to get to know him, and I look forward to meeting him sometime. Very awesome guy.
Yeah, you probably have to go to Canada, though. He didn't leave Canada very much.
I'm fine with that. I have no problem with
Okay, yeah,
Canada.
you're gonna have to go. Well, I keep telling you to schedule GP vagina, but maybe we'll schedule it in Canada.
I love Canadians, except for the fact they usually don't snip their boys. I can't deal with that. So,
Oh, they don't?
I've dated a number of Canadian guys, and they're all uncircumcised, which is a huge no in my book. So,
Oh, I had no idea.
yeah.
That was the thing in Canada. I had
Makes
no
you look at
idea.
the A team really differently now, doesn't it? So I do want to talk about Medina leaving a little bit because you experienced a darker side of the community. There were some DMs, there were some emails, there were some death threats. It got pretty ugly. Did experiencing that change your outlook on the community at all? Because you've been a really big advocate for the fact that Magic has such an awesome community, and you really do believe in us as people, and you really, try to make us out to be the best community out there of any game. And to experience that, did that affect you at all?
I mean, it was definitely hard. I think the very first day it started, hard, maybe not, it might not be the right word. It was surprising, I would say. Not, and which, and it shouldn't have been surprising, but I get it was. Here's the problem, right? Like, when you know how the situation is, when you know who the person is, what the truth is, what's going on. I mean, I had known Medina was going to quit. We talked about it. Medina, offered me legit, just flat out, no money, no, just to keep the site running and publish the community and let it be a place where awesome people in the community came and got their start and got exposure. And I just told him, I knew from the moment that he told me he couldn't do legit, I couldn't do it without him. Like, it was us. And we were a team, and it was magical. And like, without him, there was it just it's not it wouldn't work. So, I said no. The biggest part of that that really made me angry was I knew his wife read the tweets and read the comments, on his stuff, and I didn't want, her to think there had been anything inappropriate. So, that was one of the biggest reasons because I've been in community management now. I mean, marketing is something I love. It's like my pastime just for fun. And I knew the best way to respond, to any kind of crisis like that, when you know the truth and it's something just salacious gossip, is just to ignore it. But because of what Medina was going through and because I knew his wife was reading that, I couldn't ignore it. And then I probably made it worse by commenting and responding to some of the people. And, because once they get that first tweet out of you,
Their hooks
it's,
in you, yeah.
yeah, once they get that first little response back, it's downhill from there. You know what I mean?
I have to say, though, that if I went through what you went through and if I had experienced, that level of vitriol and just that blackness, I can't say that I wouldn't be a little bit bitter, or I can't say that I wouldn't be as eager to jump back in the pool as you were. Like, you seemed pretty resilient, and you still believe in the community. And if it were me, I would be a little distrustful, or I would be a little jaded from the experience.
I mean, that would be a perfectly natural response, and I think I would have if my compu my Magic community wasn't so awesome, because the amount of people, in the day Medina announced he was quitting, I mean, it got up to, my husband was taking screenshots of things and he was documenting stuff and these messages I was getting, and I think it got up to like 45, 50 messages, like of just really hateful stuff. But the messages I got from my friends and just random community members who had never even tweeted me before, I mean, it was in the hundreds. And I mean, messages on Facebook saying, you know what, we love you, we know this is all BS, and don't even worry about this stuff, and And, you know, I mean, I should have expected it just because there's no difference between magic and real life. And in real life, when you're a female and you work closely with a male and either one of you has an affair, people are naturally going to assume it's your partner. I mean, you know, that's the first thing that I've had male partners my entire life on the ambulance. And you know, this is not a new experience. You know, people, you know, the wives, they meet you and they're, you know, they're naturally suspicious because, you know, your husband is spending 8 hours with, you know, or 12, 16 hours a day with, you know, it can be complicated, but you know, you just have to be a trustworthy type of person. And in the magic community, I think in that instance, there were a couple of really angry people Medina was leaving, and they couldn't take it out on Medina because they loved him and he needed support. And so they just let me know they were angry.
It sounds like all the love you received, you know, canceled that out or reaffirmed why you love the community so much. Would you say that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, the magic community, I mean, was amazing. I had pro players, Hall of Famers, sending me messages saying, oh, you know who was the most, let me tell you, well, not the most, I don't want to say that anybody was the most awesome because everybody was awesome, but Chapin's wife, she sent me a message and she just said, you know, just hang in there, girl, and I'm, you know, I'm praying for you, and just, or, you know, she just sent me this little like love message saying, you know, I'm a sister too, and I got your back. And I just thought, wow, that's crazy, you know, because she's in the middle of getting ready to be married, and she's got all this, you know, because I follow her on Twitter and Chapin. Yeah, I follow the pros and all their, you know, the people they talk to the most, and I've covered them all for 20 tweets for a long time, you know, and she's got all this stuff going on in her life, and you know, she doesn't even really play magic. She might with Shape and stuff, but she's not like a public magic person. And you know, and even she took the time to say, but that's how crazy that was, that even somebody who didn't play magic knew that was going on. That's how big the Medina thing got, you know what I mean?
And that they were able to see through it too.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, I've never even still to this day, I've never even had a chance to meet Medina. That was the crazy part, was, you know, the crazy part was my husband. He was cussing at the tweets. He's like, she never even met him, you assholes. Like, just,
I was
but,
really upset because, you know, I have to say, I mean, you're cute and all, and you're nice and all, but the tranny mistress angle would have been awesome. I mean, like, come on, like, holy man, tranny hooker. I mean, my God, think of the tabloidness of it all, like illicit affairs, you know, faith abandoned, a home in ruins. I mean, think of the downloads I could have gotten. I mean, gee. I mean, I would have made such a better mistress than you. Come on.
fantastic rumor mill. Yeah,
Right?
imagine the headlines, the 22 headlines we could have done of that.
Just saying, I would have made a way better home record than you. Just throwing that out there.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's funny because I did have a couple of people who even like, you know, I feel like they didn't necessarily understand what transgender meant. So like when everything was going on, there were a couple of people that were like, you know, was it you? And I'm like, he's not buying what I'm selling. Like, no, not even close, you know. And then once it finally sunk in, oh, and then I'm like, yeah, I'm not the one. Go on, move on. And then once people were hip to what was going on, that all but ceased.
Fantastic. I love people.
Right? I had to kind of laugh at it. So when you did decide to leave Legit, I'm assuming you could have gone anywhere at that point. So what made you decide to move on to Gathering Magic?
It was very important to me to be in a place, one with a very smart content manager who I knew would support me and also was a good writer. Because I need that, because I'm the worst grammar and spelling skills with me. I mean, it doesn't get more Texanese. Sometimes I send an article and my husband's like,
Texanese.
he's like, are you really gonna send that right now? And he's like, God, I feel so bad for your editor. And I'm just like, He's like, I know. And he's like, lay off the commas. He's like, but no, it can get bad. But so, and then I needed some. I'm like you. I'm not very tameable, and I needed some place, where if I want to say fuck or I want to talk about, an issue that's going on in the magic community that's, kind of controversial. I want somebody that would back me. And Adam, I had seen him do that time and time again, like with John, when before he left, and just a ton of other people. Natasha had written some kind of the controversial things and things that, comments and he just Adam just wants very thoughtful, good content that doesn't that's not salacious just to be salacious, but isn't, but he's not afraid of it either, if
Right.
it's a, you know what I mean? So that's why I decided to go to why I decided to go there, because I wouldn't do very good at a more of like a mill place, like a I wouldn't do very good where you have to, where there's rolls and like three people that have to see your stuff before it goes. I mean, because I can call Adam, like I could be like, listen, this happened. I'm gonna do it tonight, and I'm gonna send it to you, and you're gonna put it up tomorrow. And Adam's like, gotcha. You know what I mean? Like, so that's the kind of environment I need. Otherwise, I would get bored and just stop.
Yeah, I like Adam a lot, and I actually go to Adam with things from time to time. Like, people don't realize this, but I have what I call my team, where there are people that I go to when I'm thinking about a show title or when I'm thinking about topics to talk about. And there's a select three or four people that I will always go to, and I know that I can always get good feedback from them. And one of the things I really appreciate about Adam is not only is he a nice guy, I've met him a couple of times, but for him, it's all about the quality. And there have been a couple of times since the show has taken off where I've panicked about things, and I've been like, oh my God, what am I going to do? What is this going to happen? And he's very good at sort of taking you by the shoulders and go, Aaron, it's about the quality. Like, as long as the show is good, don't worry about this awkward pause. Don't worry that your question didn't land. Don't worry that your theme music wasn't, whatever. Just give people quality and the rest will fall into place. And he's really good at sort of shaking me loose from all of that and talking me off the ledge. And that's why I really appreciate him. And I can imagine that that would carry over the same as if, he were my boss.
Yeah, and he it's important to have somebody that you trust and also somebody that'll be honest with you, because you don't want to do things that suck, and you know what I mean? And Adam is very honest and he's very supportive, and he knows how to say things that, because writers can be a little bit sensitive, and he knows how to say things to writers to let them understand this is not working, but do it in a way that doesn't make you just like completely deflate and say, oh my God, I'm the worst person on earth. You know what I mean? So I, yeah, Adam, this has been amazing. I love Gathering Magic and my whole team, Natasha and MJ. I mean, MJ Scott, I think, I'm pretty sure I'd go lesbo for her. She's amazing. She's just like every time I read one of her articles, I'm like, wow, how come I never thought of that? You know what I mean? Like that's just when she does her, but yeah, I love working at Gathering Magic with Adam.
Yeah, she's beautiful. I've been trying to get MJ on the show for a couple of months now, but she indicated she was working on, I think, an ebook of some kind, and I keep checking in with her regularly, and I'm like, "Are you done yet?" And she's like, "No." And so she's definitely one of the people on my wish list because I think that there's a lot there, and she's beautiful too. Like every time I see her pictures, like I remember she was doing the she did some Theros dress up with Liz. I think they dressed up as goddesses or whatever, and she was giving me some face. Like she was posing and I was just like, you better work. It's like she's looking at the camera and she's looking at you all determined. She's just like I wish I could stare into a camera like she does. Like she just owns it. We're a beautiful girl.
Yeah, and there's nothing sexier than a woman who loves herself and it shows. You know what I mean? Who's confident, just like out there, like I got it. You know what I mean? Like that's just I love that. Like I just and I love I'm naturally more attracted to Vorthos type articles and people than I am like strict deck tech and strategy stuff, but and she just she just embodies that whole spirit, the Vorthos, taking over the world spirit.
Yeah. I like her because she's funny. Like, she's so funny. Like, I love her. I remember when I was reading her cosplay article and she was doing Veraska in like 24 hours or something. And I remember one of her steps was like, drink a beer. And I was just like, it was like the Kesha of cosplaying. I was like, okay. And I thought it was really funny. And then she was the other day, I think she was talking with her husband and they waited until their son was in bed and they started opening some Modern Masters packs. And she had taken a picture of Tarmogoyf and she was like, yay, we've got diaper money now. And I was like, she's a mom and she's funny and she really is just sort of the package, you know?
Yeah, it's awesome. And it's great to see so many amazing women doing content now and like being vocal on Twitter. Because even when I started, there's pretty much Melissa and Jackie, and Jackie really wasn't even a thing yet. So, but now there's just a ton more. And like at GP Vegas, when I finally got to meet Natasha and Adrian and a bunch of the girls and Helene, I was just like dumbfounded. Sometimes I'd be sitting there and Adrian and Natasha would be having a conversation, and I literally would just be sitting there on my phone and I would be Googling every other word they said. And then I'd be like, I don't know what that means. I'm gonna look that one up. But no, it's fantastic right now in our community.
I've even gotten that impression from you when we do our Google Hangouts, because we do these Ladies of MTG Hangouts where anybody's really welcome to come. And for a while there, you weren't able to attend, but the times that you have been there, I always get this feeling from you, like you're just sort of in awe of everybody. Like when we get a lot of us together, I love watching your expressions because you seem so happy that we're here and that we're doing it and that we're coming together. And I love seeing that look on your face because you just look so satisfied to see women doing their thing.
I do. I love it. Nothing makes me happier. And one of the reasons I love it, before everybody gets all riled up out there, the guys get all riled up there about, she hater, or he hater, she man, or whatever. One of the reasons I love it is because I've always loved playing Magic, and I've always loved the idea of Magic, and just the whole thing. I've just loved it. And how. I like to sit there and just think, there are people at Wizards, whatever, it doesn't matter what time of the day it is. There's just people there and they're just thinking up magic shit. They're just sitting there just thinking up some awesome magic shit, and that just makes me happy. And so I just know I'm 100% certain if more women play magic, magic will last longer, be better, and be more fun, not just for women, but for men. I'm just 100% sure of that. And that's why like I get so excited when there's women that love magic and they're playing magic and I want to hug them all. I do. I get so excited. I was like, "Yes, there's chicks."
So one thing I find really interesting about you, and Helene actually wanted to know this about you too, is you actually, by your own admission, don't get to play a lot of Magic. And yet you still have this really impressive array of contacts, and you still manage the community quite well, despite the fact that you don't play, and that, the community sometimes can look down on people who don't play very much, or maybe, you're not competitive enough, or you don't have the record enough. There can be that sort of meritocracy about the community. How do you manage to manage the community so well when you don't get to play very much? Because you have the attention of LSV, Kibler. I mean, these people tweet you. Even the newest player at the LGS knows who you are. Like, how do you, what's your secret?
I think the most important thing, well, for one, I was a naive kind of girl growing up, and I believed all the isms, the little sayings my grandmother told me. And she said, when she said, "You're just a big bone girl," or "You're just," I believed her 100%. I was like, "That's right, I'm beautiful. I'm just big boned." Or it didn't matter what, whatever little, but she told me, if you just be yourself and don't pretend, people will respect that. And that's how I've always approached Magic. And I've never made from the very beginning any kind of idea out there that I know anything about Magic. I mean, my followers, they know when I'm playing Magic because I'll be tweeting questions. I'll be like, okay, it's been like 4 months now. How many can two creatures attack at once? Like, are you, is he trying to trying to cheat me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what is this? You know what I mean? And then forget about it when I'm trying to play, you know, when it's vintage and I'm trying to play and, you know, the storm comes up or something. I'm just like, oh my God. You know, I have like 6 judges in the community on standby when I'm playing. But no, I didn't make any kind of false notions when I started. I was very upfront that I love Magic. I'm a full-time mom and I'm a full-time worker and I don't get to play very much, but it's the number one thing I want to do when I'm free. That's the number one thing I want to do is play Magic. And then in the meantime, I just want to be in Magic and talk to magical people. And I think the most important part of, you know, managing the community and being in the community for me was just to make sure everybody knew they were important. And that was one of the things that I wanted to do with 20 Tweets. I didn't want it to be 100% about the pros. In fact, I didn't even want it to be 10% about the pros. Mm-hmm. You know, when an issue that came up in Magic, I felt was important enough to make 20 tweets, I wanted to know what the regular people who don't write for Magic sites, who don't, you know, just play on the weekends, or they just tweet about it, or they just talk to the pros they love the most about it, or their favorite writers. I want to put them on the site, in the community, and let them know, you know, what they say matters. And mm-hmm. so that maybe somebody out there will read that and at Wizards or someplace else and say, well, you know, look, here's a whole set of people who actually buy our product. And, you know, cause these are the people that are walking into the LGS at like noon on a Saturday buying 2 boxes and then disappearing for 2 months.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They don't go to F&M's. They don't, you know, they're not part of anything significant as far as sanction play goes. They're probably never going to go to a GP, but they love Magic and they play it. You know what I mean? They play with their friends, their wives, their husbands, their children. And, you know, a lot of them are on Twitter and they're out there and they're following and along with the conversation. And I wanted to make sure, you know, what they thought was recorded too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it feels really good to see that. Like, I know Ruben was doing that for a while, and I remember especially around the Return to Ravnica pre-release, I remember being I'm a really big Golgari fan. I love all things Black and Green, and I can't tell you what it was like being a new podcaster on the scene and having Ruben Bressler link my tweets talking about the game or whatever. And you know, when you're looking to just have someone know you exist and just to see you, it's such a shot in the arm to see that, like, oh my God, I'm on that article. And there was a time with 20 tweets where I felt the same way, where I would scroll through it. And I'll admit, if I didn't see my name, I would get a little disappointed and be like, oh, I had such a great thing to say. And
I had an awesome tweet.
But, you know, I know what it's like, and I know how good it feels just to have somebody say, I see you. Because it's very easy to get lost in a big community, especially when you're just starting out. And you feel like, you know, you either feel like nobody cares, you feel like you're not big enough. And I like that. And I like when people take the time to be like, I see you, like, I got you, you know. And I think it's really important that we do that. And the more my show becomes successful, I feel like I want to do that too, where, you know, I feel like the more successful my show becomes, the more I see... trying to think how to put this. The more I see how much work could still be done. Like, when I listen to a show like the A-Team or I listen to Heavy Meta, I keep thinking to myself, I really would like to do like a female version of that, you know? And I really would like to use the success that I've had to give other people the same spotlight a little bit. And you know, if I do have the means to bring lesser known names on the show, I really want to do that and just not have it be all about me. And that's just something I've really felt lately. Like, if I could just do something else with this, I'd like to do that. So
I think that's a genius idea.
Yeah. I thought about it the other day. Like, I was really bored at work one day, and I kind of counted to myself, and it's not that I think of myself as like a trailblazer. I don't have any sort of ego like that, but I got really bored one day and I was like, how many women podcasters are there? And I started counting and I was like, all right, we have Adina from Horde of Notions, which is now decommissioned. I believe Lansdell said they're not doing that anymore. We have Tifa on the official show. We have myself. We have Charlotte Sable on the Judge Cast. I count 4. You occasionally pop in on Planeswalker's Asylum.
Yes, I do. Whenever my work schedule permits, it hasn't lately.
So that's five. One counting me, one counting a show that's no longer active. That's a little depressing. And there's a part of me that's like, I want to fix that. I want to tackle that. So, that's something I've had in mind lately with as the show gets bigger is, what more can I do for other people to change the community? So.
One of the things I love about the magic community specifically is it's very rare for people to get really ugly. I mean,
Oh yeah.
I've probably had more debates on Twitter about the craziest topics. I mean, everything from feminism to I mean, you name it,
Oh yeah.
and people will disagree with me all the time, and even to the point where they're disagreeing and they're so angry they're using foul language, but their message is never hateful at me. Very, very rarely. I mean, I love a good debate, and I think that's one of the great things about most of the people that play Magic is, they're willing to go at it with you and not get personal. You know what I mean? That they'll like Jeebus, for instance. I've probably argued with that man. I can't even tell you. And I mean, he couldn't be more. We couldn't be more opposite of the spectrum. And and he could say some pretty crazy, ridiculous things. But I mean, he never directly attacks me. Just my ideas or whatever topic we're talking about, and I think that's an important to have a healthy community. I think that's vital. You know what I mean? And that's one of the things I've tried to help is not ever, like even with the Medina thing, a lot of people wanted me to name the people who were sending me nasty messages. And every now and then I'll get some kind of crazy message and I'll post the message on Twitter, the conversation, but I will never post the name. And that's because I don't ever want it to be a witch hunt or some kind of lynching. Because it's not what it's about. It's not about punishing a person. It's about explaining why this is not appropriate or why this could be done in a better way or said in a better way so that everybody learns together, not just, making this one person who maybe he's never met or played with the girl like I hadn't for years. You know
Yeah.
what I mean? Like maybe you just don't know where someone's coming from. You don't know if maybe they've never, like in my small town, if a gay person existed, they certainly wouldn't have told anybody because their life would be at risk. I mean, literally, their life would have been at risk. And not only that, but I mean, I was probably a senior in high school before I'd even heard the term homosexual. I mean, it's not something, sex, your sexual preference, that's not something anybody in my town or church community would have ever discussed ever.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so you don't know where people are coming from. So I think it's way more important, to just let them know how to be inclusive in a community instead of just like, hey, you are, you know what I mean? Like, we're coming to get you.
Do you think it also makes a difference in the fact because that we actually have to see each other and that you're more likely to run into that person where, let's say you're playing more of an online game where you never have to run into that person. There is sort of that internet anonymity there. But, if you mouth off to somebody in the Magic community is actually quite small for as large it is, large as it is. Let's say you might run into that person at a GP or they could be your opponent at a pre-release, Do you think that has something to do with how civil we can be?
Oh, I would absolutely agree. I mean, I think that's an excellent. I hadn't actually considered that. That's pretty astounding, actually, when you think about it. Like, I had never considered. That's probably a large aspect of why our community is so awesome, is because you do have to. You're gonna if you ever want to go to a Star City Games or even a pre-release in your local You know, I mean, I know what the local Las Vegas people are tweeting or saying on Facebook, and you know, I'm going to be sitting across from them at some point, whether it's a pre-release or, you know, whatnot. So, I mean, that's an excellent. I absolutely think that's probably 100% actually
I
a
learned
part.
that yeah, I learned that early on. I remember one of my earliest mishaps was I went to Gen Con 2 years ago and I ran into Lissa Jensen. She top aided GP Nashville, I want to say, a while back, and I didn't know who she was. And I was coming off of a tilting spree and I had said some terrible things to her. And at that time I had just started the deck tease. I didn't really understand the range of the community. And I just assumed that she was some random purple-haired girl who I may have, called a bitch, just things like that, and I just assumed I'd never see her again and that'd be the end of it. And then all of a sudden she started popping up at every event I was going to, where GP Chicago, and all of a sudden I see this girl with purple hair and a panda backpack, and I'm like, oh gosh, she's everywhere. And then I realized that we had mutual friends. So like I see my friend Drew Levin, and Drew Levin, oh, Drew Levin's friends with her, oh
I
fuck, this
love
is
Drew.
awkward,
I love him.
I know. And then all of a sudden I would have other friends. I'd be like, hey, you should come meet my friend Lissa. And I'm like, no, I'd rather not. I know we're just not going to get along. No. And then eventually I realized that I was an asshole and I apologized to her. And I've had several moments since then where you can't assume that you're never going to run into them again, or you can't assume that nobody knows who they are, because somebody always knows who they are. And it's probably somebody that you're friends with. And then you're going to have to answer for that. And then it's just so hilariously uncomfortable. And I think that has something to do with it now, where now I'm way more mindful of what I say to people because, friend of a friend of a friend of a friend, it's going to happen. And I find that I'm way more civil than I was in my World of Warcraft days.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And I also think there is a large, you know, a social norm is set by its leaders in almost 100% of the cases. I mean, a teacher sets the atmosphere for a class, the principal sets the atmosphere for the school. I mean, it's you know, your boss sets the atmosphere for your work. It doesn't matter what you're doing in the world. That pretty much holds true. So I think we have also two very exceptional things where we have wizards who sets an amazing example in their people by having them on Twitter, responding to people in real time. I mean, you have Helene who's, I mean, she's a goddamn champ. I mean, she's an all-star. I mean, you know, I got some Twitter skills, but that woman, I mean, she's day and night nonstop, you know, responding. And you know she takes a beating and she just sits there and you know she's smiling the entire time and she's you know she never loses her cool and she's constantly and I know you know from experience that when you're getting like a ton of tweets all at once and everybody's agitated about something like it can be overwhelming so I mean she's you know and then you have Mark Rosewater and you know and Aaron and I think they set a great tone but I also think you know, we have some pretty awesome pros too, you know, like LSV and Chapin and Kibler. And I mean, you people get mad about whatever they get mad about, but you know, but I mean, if you think about it, our pros compared to a lot of the other games, I mean, I've watched, for instance, like the Yellow League of Legends, I watch a lot of their pros, and they wouldn't give a random person on Twitter the time of day.
World of Warcraft was the same way. It was very clear that there are people better than you. And especially, one of my favorite sites was Elitist Jerks. The name says it all. It's like, there was, and I was in some really high-end raiding guilds, and there was definitely an attitude of, if you're not doing hard modes, you're nobody. If you, and that was something we would do for fun, is we would do what was called the Raid Finder. We would do, the dungeon queue, and we would just look at people's gear. And I would, on the nights like right before a raid, I would sit outside of Orgrimmar and just inspect people and just be like, what are they thinking? And it was very obvious that, when you had certain kinds of gear and you had certain achievements, that there was this attitude of you're better than somebody. And if the game itself wasn't, bolstering that than the community was. And I bought into it for a really long time, and it was something that actually followed me into magic. The first couple times I did poorly at magic events, I was like, I'm a top 200 US raider. You can't talk to me that way, you peasant. And I'd be like, these people don't play well. Like, my achievements mean shit. They don't know what, serious casual is. They don't care what your eye level is. And yeah, it fucked me up for a long time. I had to really get used to being normal and average, and even when I was doing well, I had to learn how that doesn't make me better than you, and how to stay grounded. And yeah, I felt that way too.
And it's important to have that. I don't think people realize how much it's important for our pros to be that way and how lucky we are, that some of the bigger names, especially that they are that way, because some of my favorite conversations that I've ever had on Twitter, is just watching the pros when they're talking about some random EDH game they were playing or some, just letting everybody know they love Magic too. You know what I mean? It's there are things they love, and they're, it's always exciting when you see a pro who specifically loves a format, like it's Modern season, and then everybody starts tweeting that pro questions, and then he's just firing back, and they're at their job or they're wherever they are doing whatever busy thing they're doing, and I think that's it go I think it's not as appreciated as it should be, and that's why I'm probably more inclined to give the pros, especially when I did 20 tweets, I was more inclined to give them a little leeway, when like the complaining about, the rule changes and game, all this, how rankings and everything. I kind of felt like at this time, they're the ones, not just like the big pros, but all the, the grinders, the pros, the grinders that are on the pro tour doing the stuff. That's their thing. I'm gonna let them work it out with Wizards. I don't need to have an opinion about that. That was how I felt. You know what I mean? Like, I play Vintage. Why do I need to have an opinion about how many pro tours are gonna, I just, I didn't feel like my opinion was necessary.
Well, I think we can agree that your opinion is very necessary.
Oh, well, I give it enough, that's for sure.
So, if anybody's enjoyed your appearance here, Heather, and they'd like to know more about your opinions, or they would just like to get in touch with you, how can people do that? Where can they find you?
I am at Gathering Magic. I do gamer boy, gamer girl, or they could tweet me. I'm pretty much on Twitter every day at Revised Angel, and I am pretty much always gonna tweet you back. You're probably gonna be like, why won't she shut up?
Yeah, I definitely know what that's like. I think LSV followed me for a day. I was so excited, and I remember he followed me, and I think I even warned him. I was like, LSV, I'm a little mouthy, I'm a little wordy, I'm a little coarse, and he was like, that's okay, I wouldn't ask you to change for anything. And then something happened a day later where I think I was just really excited that he was following me, and I went to look at my list just to sort of beam about it, and I was like, oh, LSV is not following me anymore. And I'm just like, fuck. And yep, I totally blew it. So
You know who I have that relationship with is Evan Irwin. When he, I mean, obviously, LFV is my boo. I love him.
You do.
I
You
do. I don't even get me started. I could go
would
on.
put him in your sideboard so fast.
I could go on for 20 hours about that man. But like Evan was, I mean, he's always been my role model. Specifically in Magic, because when I first started out, because Evan, he's not on the Pro Tour, he's not, he loves Magic. I'm sure he's good at Magic, and I mean, if he tried to be on the Pro Tour, I mean, I'm sure that's possible. But like, he just loved the community, and he loved talking about the community and the mat. All his stuff that he does is all, that's the kind of stuff that I love. Just, being with people like me who love the stuff that I love, and that man has probably followed me and unfollowed me on Twitter at least 6 times. Anytime there's a big controversy going on and I'm at the center of it, he follows me, and then because he wants to make sure he's up to speed. And then I think he's like, okay, enough of that. And then he unfollows me. It's like, I've probably over the years, yeah, I've probably had it at least 6 times pop up on my screen. Evan Irwin is now following you. And I'm like, oh, it's a good month.
The only person I've had that relationship with is Trick Jarrett. Like, I love Trick Jarrett. I think he's adorable. I would climb him like a tree. He's a beastly man. I love him. And he followed me very early on. I think he followed me after I had Tifa on, and I was so flattered. I was like, oh, my God, Trick Jarrett, I love you. And I was, you know, queening out a little bit. And then he unfollowed me, and I made the mistake of asking him about it. Like, I didn't handle it very well, and I was like a scorned lover. And I was like, Trick Jarrett, why did you unfollow me? I thought we had something. And he... And he said something to the effect of that I was noise.
Noise. I remember that.
Yes. And I was like, I'm noise. Trick Jarrett just said I'm noise. And it's
because I sent you, I sent you a message. I said, oh, no, he didn't. I
was like, but oh, he is actually really nice, though. He is actually really nice, though. Like, it's not as if he unfollowed me. And I understand. Like, I get that I'm a handful. I get that I have no filter. I get it. But it wasn't a situation where he unfollowed me and then he completely had nothing to do with me. He's actually very nice to me. We've had some very lovely conversations. And, you know, there is that little part of me that hopes that one day he will come back around and I can see his name on my list. Or, you know, maybe I hope that he's following me anonymously or something. But I definitely know what it's like to have that sort of love-hate Twitter relationship, because I think that Trick and I have that. Even if he doesn't know it and couldn't care less, I know we're having it.
So. Yeah, that's funny, because I'm the same way with Evan. I'm like, yep, it's a good month. Evan's following me this month. And then for like a whole day or two, I'll be like trying to think of when I tweet. I'll be like, don't say anything that would make Evan follow you. Like, don't say anything. And then, of course, something will happen, and then I can't.
It all goes to shit.
It just all goes straight to hell.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm like, what can you do? Everybody's got to do Twitter their own way. You know, I've figured that out. You can't, you know, everybody wants to follow who they want. They want in their life what they want. And, you know, I have a pretty thick skin. I don't get very I can disagree with people and we can just let it go that day and get right back at it the next one. And I rarely unfollow or block people. I mean, I think in the whole time I've been on Twitter, I think I've blocked Dr. Eight Sides and Smitty. Like, those are the only two people that come to mind. And they were, you know, they didn't just disagree with me. They were outright hateful people. I mean, they were just nonstop, just couldn't, you know, and then I didn't have a choice. But I mean, like, to me, that's just like, I would never do that. But I completely get it when people, you know, when they're like, I've had enough of that one for a while. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I don't, you know, but Evan needs to just knock it off. He needs to stick with me now. It's been a couple of years we've been in this relationship.
Right. I can certainly understand that. So Heather, thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm really glad that we got the opportunity to do this, that we got the opportunity to 69 together. I mean, that we did episode 69 together. And I am so glad that you are my friend, and I look forward to meeting you sometime next year when we get together for GP Vagina.
Yeah, well, you got to pick out a GP for GP Vagina, because I'll be there.
You know, I just can't figure out a location that screams vagina. Like, do I want Nashville Vagina with a little bit of twang? Do I want, like, Portland Vagina that's a little rainy and dewy? I don't know how I want it.
Well, you figure it out, and I will bring the females. It will descend upon you.
I keep imagining it being sort of like a magic version of Pitch Perfect. Have you ever seen that movie?
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah. Just imagine that with MTG. Like, you, me, Jackie, Melissa, Adrian, and we'd all fit like those little archetypes. It would be genius.
And you know, the best part is even though Natasha is the quietest one of us, I'm absolutely convinced when it comes down to it, she can get buck wild.
Oh yeah. I'm imagining she would be just that little.
I'm absolutely convinced.
Let me at her. Where I would like hold her back. down.
She's like, oh, funny.
Well, thanks again for coming on the show. I really do appreciate this, Heather.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been a blast.
Absolutely. And if anyone else has enjoyed what they've heard here on the Deck Tees, you can always find the show first and foremost on legitmtg.com. You can also find the show on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Feel free to subscribe and leave me a review and some stars. The show is on Twitter at the Deck Tees. I am on Twitter at Original Estrus. That is OriginalOestrus. You can also email me personally at estrus@elitistrix.com. Thank you guys so very much for listening, and please take care of yourselves, okay? Bye.